Hello, hello.
Hello, Alex.
Hello, hello. Can y'all hear me? Hello.
I can. Oh, I can
yes,
hear you.
Yes, good.
Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
I'm recording in a bit of a cursed situation.
I mean cursed as in a Quinn version of cursed, which is most things, or cursed as in...
Okay.
Wait.
No,
that's not a
cursed.
Dig.
Want me to explain?
Yes, yes. This
Want
is
me to
the
explain?
Show. Yes.
Okay. This is the show. Everything that's in the show is in the show.
Always.
Okay. So what I mean by cursed is I'm on vacation. I'm currently hanging with my parents, chilling, and we're at a cottage, which means I'm recording via Starlink internet.
I know what that is. Go on, go on.
So I'm currently speaking to you via a satellite that Elon Musk provided.
Yep,
me, you know?
Yep. I bet I don't know if but Starlink is one of the services my landlord is trying.
Oh my god. I was gonna joke. I was joking that Alex should get Starlink because it clearly looks better than their own internet right now.
Mm-hmm,
But doesn't it like not work if there's rain?
Mm-hmm.
And isn't the whole problem that it's always
mm-hmm,
raining?
Mm-hmm. Right now it is raining and we currently have a microwave internet setup, which... Yeah. So
I don't even want to know what that means. That's so wild.
I didn't know what that was until 2015, I think, when the office that Cards Against Humanity bought, turned out it had zero cable service in the area because it's like an industrial area and the building was, it is from like the 1910s, I don't know. And Comcast was like, no, we can't give you internet. I was just like, how do internet? Apparently, microwave internet is a thing and it engages with satellites. I don't know if Mr. Musk runs them yet, but aren't they shooting satellites into space? Verizon and AT&T are doing that now.
There's something going into space today. I do love... Have you heard about there's a fight between... I believe it's Elon Musk, SpaceX, and Project Genophysis, a.k.a. Dish Network, about who will get to own this spectrum for 5G and or Starlink that they might use, even though Dish doesn't really have an internet 5G network that they say they have, but they don't really have it, and it's called Project 5 Gen 5 Project 5 Genophysis. It's Project Genesis, but one of the S's is a 5.
Okay, using a 5 as an S is a valid and cool thing to do sometimes.
Yeah.
Patreon.com.
Also, you get NFTs.
Alex Cox. Sorry, what?
You get NFTs if you test the internet.
No.
On Project Genophysis.
Wait, oh,
like the more
gross.
You test, you get like an NFT. But the best part is in order to get that NFT, you have to download the entire Solana blockchain. So you have to download like a bunch of data to get their NFT.
Gross.
It's really funny.
Oh, hello, Brian. Thank you for your patience. Thanks for having me on the show, y'all. It's great
We're
to be
so
here.
Excited to
as
have
a
you
guest.
Back. Guest of the show, Alex Cox.
Friend of the show, Alex Cox.
Oh, I love being a friend of shows.
We should do everything in arc easels.
I don't,
you know?
You invited me to Art Quinn, but I got nothing.
That's the thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you Arc? You wasn't here. I'm Arc Pill. Do you know what Arc is, Alex?
No. Is this like the WebEx of show notes?
It's a browser from the browser company.
The browser company. Is that literally what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah. The company. If you go to the browser.company, it's the best web browser ever invented. It's kind of silly and preposterous, but also it is the best browser. And you can make things called easels, which are kind of like visual bookmarklets.
Oh, I don't know.
So like I have like a
I love this.
I have like a mood. Yeah, it's so good.
Oh, no.
I have like a mood board of like clothes I want to buy, but they're also linked back. So it's like, imagine if Pinterest was useful. You know?
Yeah. I hate that I like this.
I can probably send you an invite. I don't know if you'll ever get it because I sent Brian an invite and they never got it.
Yeah, I don't understand what happened. Unless you spelled my name wrong, but I don't think you would.
Brian, I double checked. Remember I said, how do I spell your name? And you said that and then I typed it right.
Yeah. Oh, damn, Anthony, you already pulled this off. Are you working on it?
But yeah, it's the best browser. Alex, I can invite you. I'm so arc-pilled. The thing is, like, when I first started using it, I was a bit turned off because I was like, this isn't a browser. This is, like, a bunch of things that browsers don't do. But then I kind of bought into the metaphor. And also what happened is I had a call with one of them where they explained how things work. And it made it even better.
What?
Which was great.
Okay, you should try to send me another invite. Then you should reach out to them and say, why can't I send this invite? Why isn't my friend getting it?
Oh, well, the person said that I could probably email the person that I talked to on the thing.
There's been a lot of...
Yeah, we want to be powerful people.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, hey, you want to get on a call to learn about this new service lately? And I'm like, no, thank you.
I just had somebody do that with me with this app called Lazy.
Lazy
lets you clip basically anything from wherever you are in your browser and then like quickly just file it away and then go back later and like clean it up.
Nah, that's what Arc easels are for. Don't worry about it.
That's what I'm using Lazy right now. I don't have Arc yet.
Alex, what's your... Oh, Alex, if you text me your email, I can invite you.
OPSEC. Hold on.
Yeah, that's why I said don't send that. I was gonna say you can say your email, but do not say that out loud, Alex.
No, people could probably don't guess it. What am I saying?
My email is everywhere through the power of somehow being stupid. Also, it's the most guessable email.
Everywhere through the power of being stupid.com.
Oh, that's really good.
I need to buy that.
Yeah, I was going to say, hands off my keyboard. I should block hover from my browser and just
me too.
Not go there.
I really should. I really should.
Let me tell you some of the domains that I have. TimFaustIsAwesome.com. Tim Faust is the bass of the acapella group Home Free and also a good friend. It's country acapella, but they're not backwards. And then I also have blackapella.com, which is a brilliant, brilliant one. And then I have neurodiverse.tech.
These are all
nice.
See, that one is all of these are very good.
That one just kind of makes sense.
That was for the Slack. Remember that was for the Slack, Quinn? I don't know if you were part of that Slack.
Yeah.
With Colin O'Donnell.
I was part of that Slack for 3 seconds.
Alex, you know Colin O'Donnell, right?
No, name sounds familiar, but I don't think so.
Used to work at Apple, complains a lot about Apple. He knows that that way. It's okay. I love you, Colin. You're the best.
My favorite silly domain I own, I opened Hover. The best part is I used it for a school project. So it's kind of like dead unless I want to migrate off of it because I didn't own that many domains. And we were doing something that needed HTTPS, and in order to have HTTPS, you need like a domain to like register that with. And so the only domain that I had that I wasn't using at the time was beanjuice.ca.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it so much.
Alex, the best part? our school project is still hosted at beanjuice.ca.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Goodness gracious.
Oh, y'all, I have
all
a
the
quick
other
game
things.
To play.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just saying all the other things I own are just like variations of my name, variations of my weird fake company that me and my friend have, hypercriticalhit.net for that one time I had to make a Tumblr for a school class, and I was writing about RPGs, and I was being like it's like hypercritical, but about RPGs, so it's hypercriticalhit.
That's good.
Jokes.
I like that.
And then nonbinaryinhorrormonth.com, because someone owned womeninhorrormonth.com and they were ending it. They're like, it's too much work to run this. And I was like, oh, I should email them about that, but I didn't. And then I just bought a domain instead, like a silly billy.
silly, I don't think
I like and then a silly I own
a bunch of...
A silly billy.
Then they just own a bunch of versions of my name. I own the .com, the .net, and the .ca of my name. And then I own just a bunch of like little project sites, like my Watch Us Picker website and my Film Frequency website thing. You know?
I've decided that unsolicited, I'm going to name some of my, or list some of my domain names: alexcox.me, roboism.fm, purplenurple.io, stickitinyourtwat.com, autoclave.computer, which actually like alexcox.org, alexcox.computer, narcissismofsmalldifferences.com, alexcox.live, alexcox.gay, mattycox.gay, allmypodcasts.fm, joerogan.podcast.club, productivitypodcast.fail, what's another? I feel like I had some. Oh, stompon.mystamps.com, relayfmswitchon.com, and
oh my god,
oh, coxchain.com, and
do you own Cox's Cucks.club?
No, someone else had it. I don't. I know, right?
Kurt.
I know. It hurts.
That's mean.
Brian, what you've got, you have some, you had like actual practical and fun names. You win. Oh, more. Yes.
BrianGuffey.com, BlackAppella.com, OTRND.com, which was for work at one point, TimFaustisAwesome.com, NeuroDiverse.tech, FattiesTalkBat.com, UnsolicitedFTB.com, TechnicallyQueer.fm, come on, baby, FatAbortionFund.org. And then I have more with the gay, but it's like at another place, because this is when they were doing like that sale.
Oh yeah.
What was the name of that?
Name cheap domain pig domain something name no. name something beep doop doop bleep doop bloop bloop.
That's my favorite website, right along with Facebook.com.
Yeah, no. Yeah, because Alex, I've told you about my silly letterbox projects that I've done, right?
Yes.
I've definitely told Brian.
I have not checked
them
out.
Yeah, so like most of my domains are about them. You don't need to. I don't care. Oh, pork bun. I was close with pig.
Yeah, let me check it out because I have a few more at pork bun that are all gay, which I'm really excited about.
I also still own my deadname.ca for historical reasons.
Wait, you should own... Wait, somebody should own my deadname.
That's the thing. When you're writing your memoir... Oh, my name! Wait, okay. Wait, that's pretty good. Wait.
It's okay. I can get the .ca when no one can because you have to be a Canadian citizen or business.
My deadname.com is available. No, I shouldn't get this. I feel because I don't have a dead name. I don't know.
Oh, friends, here are my gay domains. Fatblacktransand.gay. DLP.gay for the fraternity. DeltaLambdaPhi.gay. And honestly, this one we need to redirect to ours. I don't think I've done it yet. But this podcast is .gay.
That's really good. That's nice.
Honestly, actually, that should be a landing pad. That should be a page that basically loads up a gay podcast.
It should be like a link tree for your podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, like a random. It's like a random picker one.
Yeah. I've thought about doing that, but I couldn't figure out how. Like, just one of my bad podcasts, .fm, is what I have too.
So I just bought my deadname.ca. I bought the .ca to keep all the Americans in check if they want it.
Good.
But I bought the .ca because I'm a Canadian citizen, so you get this. The best part about being Canadian is that every CA is available, because Canada says in order to buy a .ca, you have to be a Canadian business or citizen, which, fun fact, there's not that many of them. There's more Californians than that. So every .ca is available you want, like truly every single one.
Interesting. I feel like there needs to be some good words like that. Normally I hate like the clever, like what's the term for when you finish a word with the .ca or .io?
Yeah.
Even though now I do it all the time.
It's like how I followed this YouTuber. His name was Stephen George, but George without an E at the end. So his website was stephenge.org.
Like see, that. See, I like it now. God, yeah, my opinion changed so quickly. I'm like, this is a dumb way to make domains. I'm like, no, it's cute. Man, today's a weird day. There's a lot of rain. Brian is too soft. And as we know, one of their best traits is being loud. Quinn is in a cabin in the woods. I don't get murdered.
Oh, my God. This is amazing. Quinn is in it. I love that. And I guess, I don't know. Am I too soft? I think it's really important to be soft. We don't want all of our people to be hard. Especially us AMAD enemies. And I didn't mean it that way, but it does work, I guess. Damn.
So Alex, you weren't here for the past little bit, but everyone says that when you're not here, it's just the Quinn show because I am too broken. They don't say broken, they say ADHD, but same thing.
Yeah. And also, Alex, you're the balance on your mic is just phenomenal.
The what is?
To me, Alex is really loud, but that's
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Alex sounds perfect to me. I just meant like the way that it's set is so nice. You sound really good.
See, Brian, that's the thing. You sound perfect. And it's not that you... I am talking about literal gain right now in terms of not being able to hear. But you, I don't think loud is necessarily an antonym for soft. Because... Fair. Like I would describe squishimals as very loud decor.
Loud
decor, but they're very, very soft. Like what's another
Alex?
Yes.
Blahage? Are Blahage loud but soft?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, Alex, I forgot you're not okay, so I'm a stereotype as we've already been through, right? As one knows, and so within the trans femme community,
more
yeah, obviously that's the joke. The joke is to continue to become a stereotype. If you become a stereotype, you're a meme. So I don't own one because I'm not a stereotype, but a Blahage is an IKEA shark. And that every trans femme owns one.
I thought you said yeah, yes, I also have a Blahage. Did you see Wikipedia the other day? Okay, never mind. Yeah, uh-huh. I see. We're on the same page.
No, I know what you're talking about. I was trying to explain to my coworker what a Blahage was, and they're like, what is a Blahage? I'm like, oh. And then I went on the Wikipedia, and it's like, oh my God, Blahage, Wikipedia. And it was great.
It was a great day. Great, great day. How did that even happen? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know that...
I didn't know about the Blahage.
Do you not know about Blahage, Brian?
I didn't, but now I do, and I'm going to have to buy one for Nathan.
Oh, they're so soft and so cute.
Ugh, I really want one, but I can't. I have to go to a store, because I tried to order them online, and it said, we don't have any that we can ship to you. I just tried to scratch my back, and then immediately remembered I got a tattoo, and I can't scratch my back.
Nathan and I both have very big, very big baguettes.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. That's sick.
Wait, baguette tattoos? Like stuffy no. baguettes? Literal baguettes?
Yeah, stuffy baguettes. Like giant stuffed baguettes.
No.
That's
and
so
and my
appealing.
Bread is and my bread is bigger than Nathan's bread.
I do indeed go off mic when I make noises. It's just that they're that loud. Is this the show? I've opened
yeah, this
all
is the show.
Links.
This is totally
okay.
the show.
Yeah, Alex, you haven't been to the past two shows, but this is the show.
I am opening all of the links in the craft document. And
there shouldn't be
There's
many.
Not that many links.
Oh, you're opening all
there's
the dramatic
just the links.
Reading options. Okay.
There's just funny tweets. And
they're very good.
I mean, so, Quinn, do we have any follow-up from last episode? Like...
Yeah. So one, we have follow-up from last episode. No, because we've been really bad about posting it. The follow-up is that I need to post it, but I don't know what day we're posting it, obviously.
Oh, okay. Let's start posting on... Okay, so we're going to make a decision. Guys, this is Building a Podcast 101. Not guys, but people. But Alex, one of the other things you may have missed is that we decided we would start going bi-weekly instead of weekly.
Mm.
Because we're bisexual,
yes.
you know?
Yes. And, I mean, Nathan Fielder has taught me some things about myself that I didn't know.
And also because Cass is going to lose their mind if we don't go every 2 weeks.
Yeah, when I listen to the raw tape, oh God, I sound like an NPR employee. I'm sorry to myself and NPR people and everybody. But I was like, oh man, this is like early editing that I did for not the typical three white guy podcast, but five improv comedians.
Oh my God.
That sounds dangerous. Because our podcast is a little less put together than three white guys because we're gay.
Yeah, and Quinn is technically, basically an improv comedian in their life.
Oh.
Like, honestly. Like,
okay, so it is important. I have thought about doing improv before, but I've been told it's a cult, so I don't want to do it.
No,
Alex, don't
worry.
I don't want to do it. Alex, I don't want to do it. It's a cult.
I can't lose any more friends to the...
Well, and the funny part is I know so many people. I don't know a lot of people. I know some people who've like... They go through improv, but then become like just comedians.
That is typically the pipeline.
Like Nicole Byer. I love Nicole Byer. Nicole, come on our podcast, please.
I forget if I told you, Alex, because I always forget if you were here or not at this point. But I've told you that I've been like, I go to stand up comedy in Vancouver, which I would say is not the peak of stand up comedy, which means every time I leave, I think I could do that.
You can't. The answer
again, not
is
because
Quinn,
I'm
you can't.
That funny. But the answer is not because I'm that funny, but because I'm just as not funny as all of them. You know? I could be just as not funny as them.
I have considered... No. I have produced so many stand-up shows, and I have considered just never going to a stand-up show again. But then, unfortunately... there are people that perhaps like Quinn end up being very talented and very, very funny. And I get sucked back in. And I think this is possibly a unique Chicago trait because we all hate improv, but also we've all been, well, we've either all done or fucked someone who's been involved with improv. Not me. I've never done improv, nor have I ever had sex, nor will I ever have sex.
Just period.
Never.
And without period.
But it's like something magnetic for people in Chicago because it's just like in our blood.
See, Alex,
I don't know.
This is why I need to move to Chicago.
I mean, yeah, know? Yes, yeah. Because you know what? I will say it the right way. It is the Toronto of America.
I am not, by
like
the way,
Chicago.
I'm not moving to Chicago.
I know that you enjoy livable weather, which is not
it's
what
really
Chicago
kind
is.
Of, I mean, to be fair, like, it, I mean, what's weird about the desert is that things that are normally not livable are livable and
become livable.
Yeah, like, in let me tell you what, in Illinois and Ohio, 106 degrees is not livable.
No, it's horrifying.
But in the United, but it,
you'd,
but
I'd rather
in California,
die.
It's livable.
It was wild the first time I went to the West Coast and just looking at the, I just equated Las Vegas with the West Coast. And I guess that says something about where my brain is today. But the first time I was in Vegas, I was like, oh God, it's gonna be 98 every day. And it was like the most pleasant weather I've ever
experienced. So weird. However, you're also probably constantly thirsty.
Yeah, but I am.
Well, I'm already constantly thirsty, Brian. So that's
fine. So am I. Okay, there we go. All of us. Quinn posts these pictures on Twitter that goes, "Tell me that I'm pretty," and I'm like, "Well, duh."
Yes.
Yeah, like I needed to do that. I need to become a meme on the internet, you know?
You've been pretty-pilled.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You're pretty, pretty-pilled.
Alex, so much meaning to
I know.
That. Because, you know, I am pretty-pilled, mm-hmm. You know? Alex, I'm speed-running niche internet micro-celebrity, aka 10K on TikTok.
You are becoming an influencer, like, before our very eyes.
It's gross. And we can't. No, it's a micro niche micro influencer. Yeah.
No, it's an internet. Is it internet niche internet micro celebrity? Currently, I'm two niche internet nano celebrities because I'm like 0.2 niche internet micro celebrities. You know, so I'm nano celebrities, obviously. But I'm two of them because I have 2,000.
Have you been
and 10K is one.
Have you been approached yet by gurus?
God, no. I hope I never approached. I'd rather die.
Oh my
die.
God, no. You absolutely, absolutely will. Like, even oh gosh. Oh, you sweet precious thing. Oh no. Oh no. Oh gosh. Brian, you've gotten this, right? Like the unsolicited, "Hey, so this podcast. Hey, do you want to grow your Instagram following? Hey,
yes,
do you want more followers on TikTok?"
I've got that, but only on our podcast account for when I had that D&D podcast. Like, it was a podcast account, and so it was on the RSS feed, which means they scraped it, and I got a million emails being like, "Hey," specifically from this one company named Audrey, spelled A-U-D. Nope, I'm not even going to tell you how to spell it. Don't look it up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
they're join
done.
Audrey, sell your podcast.
Yeah. There's a new one now that I, at first I thought it was a bot, but now it's like, "Claim your podcast." And what they mean is they want you to upload it to their site as well, instead of just taking the RSS
is that
feed. I
because there was that weird like IMDb for podcast that got bought by Acast. I forget.
Yeah, it's not that. I remember that though too. Oh god, this is going to be a depressing show. No, it's not going to be a depressing show. No,
no, no, it's not. Alex, I have a question. Yes. Alex, I have a question. iMessage wants me to keep changing your name away from Alex. Is there a reason?
Oh
you
my
have
god!
That
right?
Up?
Yeah.
Wait, what? Hold on. What?
So in my phone,
yep,
I have you set up as Alex Cox robot emoji because I like giving people emojis. And robot emoji fit, you know? And then every day my phone's like, "Alex Cox updated like their name and profile. Do you want to update it?" And I'm like, "No." And it's not Alex Cox.
That's a bug that I get for most people. And see, the reason it's still Alexandra is because I've had like 5 iCloud issues where they're like, "Wait a second." Wah, 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 wah. And they said I can change it. But you know what? I'm going to try to change it now. So maybe you will
dun,
get
dun, dun.
An
I.
I'm excited.
I do know what you mean because I changed all my iCloud stuff, but then when I went to the Apple store to get a thing fixed, they're like, "Oh, it's not changed in our system." And I'm like, "What?
Yeah.
Why is it? What?" And then the person's like, "Don't worry, I updated." I'm like, "Thanks, bud." I didn't say bud. I said thanks, bud. Bud is a curse sentence.
Thanks, bud.
Hey, friends, should we?
Thanks,
hey,
bud.
Friends, should we?
I think this was Coffee Talk with Quinn.
Oh, this was Coffee Talk
you know,
with
that's
Quinn.
That's what the pre-show actually is that it's Coffee Talk with Quinn.
CTWK, Coffee Talk with Quinn. Cass is traveling. Just so everybody knows, Cass is traveling. I hope Cass is having wonderful travel times. I was on Twitter space randomly this morning, and it happened to be with our good friend of the show, Jay Miller.
Pew, pew, pew. I love Jay.
Jay's a good dude.
What was the space about?
How to build a better code of conduct.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. And apparently, Jay's got a VS Code extension that helps you.
Oh, yeah, add conduct.
Yeah, add conduct, yeah. And so we talked about some of that. And then it was hosted by someone else whose name I absolutely will not forget. In fact, I'm going to be sure of that right now. Aaron Staples.
That's a cool name.
Aaron McHale Staples. Looking for my next technical product community adventure. Aaron seems very cool. Aaron is currently ready to... go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I'm intrigued by that. I didn't go to this Twitter space because in my brain, Twitter spaces hurt.
This one did not. That was really nice, yeah.
Listen, they're better than clubhouses. That sure was a month.
I never gone to Clubhouse. They banned me. They didn't ban me. They never let me in. Not because I didn't have an invite, but because they didn't like my name. But we already talked about that.
It's true.
But
I remember that. That's so funny. You were a bad word.
I joined this like random Discord server because I was intrigued. I hate every developer tool becomes a million dollar funded VC company, and I don't know why. And I joined this Discord server by mistake because I was intrigued for this. And they just clicked, please follow Rust's code of conduct, because someone was like, Rust has a good community. So if we just follow their code of conduct, we'll have a good community, which I feel like is missing the
point.
Yes,
we talked about this exact thing, which is that like two things. One, communities are individual, and you need to build a code of conduct for the community that you want and the community that you have and the community that you can support. Because if you build a code of conduct and then you can't enforce half of it because you don't have time, nothing is going to work because people immediately know they can get away with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the missing stair problem and everything or whatever it's called.
Yeah, and then also the same
thing.
What's
the missing stair problem?
Yeah.
The missing stair problem is when you have a code of conduct or something, and then there's this one person that technically isn't breaking any of the rules but is a nightmare, and so you can't kick them out because they're not breaking any of the rules, but you have to inform everyone about them. Like a missing stair, you're not doing anything to fix the stair because you can't fix it, but you do need to tell everyone when they're walking up the stairs, FYI, we're missing a stair, so be careful.
I love that term because usually there's many people like that in every Discord, but the missing stair. Oh, I love the things
Erin pointed out is that in every one of her code of conducts that she creates now, she includes like this community runs under my version of fairness. Not yours.
Oh, yes. Was this recorded? Because
yeah,
I.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I
cool.
can drop the link in.
That will be in show notes because I am stoked. I no longer run Discord communities. I'm a mod in a bunch of them, but it's exhausting, which is why I have so much respect and admiration for the people who run amazing Discords.
Did I tell you the story, Alex, about my Discord community?
No, please do.
Oh,
Quinn knows about this.
Oh, no.
Transtopia. We ran, so me and my friend Jamie Lee, who is also friends with Quinn and works with Quinn, started, and then our friend Zan, really what happened was they started this. Jamie Lee had come up with this. She was, you know, playing around with TikTok. She was in the pandemic, coming out, you know, discovering that she was a trans woman, came out on TikTok to 10,000 people through this specific thing, wildly enough, but had been working with people like to create a trans server in the background and stuff. And it was called Transtopia. And then they launched it and somebody linked it to me.
Oh, no.
I joined, and it was like day one, and they were already having issues because they thought they would get like maybe 1,000 people. And instead they got 10,000.
Yeah.
And immediately people were mad because there weren't enough people of color in the launch video. And then, like, I was like, oh, maybe let me help get... There's some, like, white defensiveness going on, which I kind of understand because, like, you've been working on this for 6 months. And then everybody pours in and starts yelling at you. So I got involved and started working with them. And then, like, we tried to build a whole community mod team and all of this stuff. And then we tried to write training. And then, like, all three of us, like, three of the leads all had breakdowns at the same time.
This, I hate that I'm like, yep, that sounds about right, because what I've seen happen in many a Discord, and it makes me sad.
Yeah, and then we had this wild person that was like, well, I think, again, the thing that we were talking about, where all of a sudden, just because you're an older person, people call you a bad person because you say they can't do something. And then they started saying, well, I don't feel safe around you because you tell me what to do, which is wild. and these people, what's wild about them is like, you don't want to kick them off your server because you don't want people to think you're a dick. But also, every moment they're on the server, it's terrible. So all of us got so tired of it that we just shut the server down.
Yep. I just, like, when we had our Do By Friday server, and famously, all of
I forgot that existed. My God.
Well, famously, you know.
I never joined it.
It was fine until somebody decided to make a Dubai Friday horny server. And
oh, Lord.
Cursed.
Yes.
Cursed.
And, like, I was invited and joined, and I was like, I do not want this associated with the show, because I like it was just a horny server and people sharing like nudes and stuff. And I'm like, this is not the show. Oy, oy, oy. And the when things spiral out of control, not just in your own server, but then it goes to another place, it's just, oh God, it becomes this cesspool so quickly, and it feels to a lot of people. I mean, there's what Brian, you said of like, I don't feel safe because I'm breaking rules that I don't like. And then there's people who are genuinely trying to engage. And when they suddenly see all of this vitriol, it like hurts more, because we're all like, yeah, yes, Twitter is terrible and stuff like that. But seeing intimacy sort of leave Discord is when I was like, all right, I'm out. I'm done. Just nope.
It kind of makes me mad that somehow Mac Stories and Relay have managed to keep relatively decent communities, as far as
they
I know.
They have a pay gate.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That is, I will, this sounds, or I used
very
to think
smart, yeah,
that this sounded terrible, but I will never run a community again unless it is pay to join, or it, yep, has funding to pay moderators 24/7, because that...
So... I will say not all pay-to-join servers guarantee greatness.
Oh,
I ever told you the story about how I broke Discord? I had too many Discord servers. They told me I had too many before they increased the limit.
Wait, how many?
I had, I think, like 500.
Holy
or something preposterous
fucking
thing. And they all
shit.
Spawned. They all spawned out of like one thing.
Wait, you mean
it was
you
wild.
Had created 500, Quinn?
No, I was a part
oh,
of it.
Oh, okay, because I was like, that would be really impressive.
No. Okay, so I was part of this. It's one of the most cursed things. It, like, broke my brain from being able to text people for, like, a good 2 years. As part of the Discord server, there's this Twitch streamer that I followed that later turned out to be a horrible, horrible, horrible person. What a surprise. They were, like, a RPG streamer person. And they had, like, they were starting this new, like, role-playing game where the game has this faction mechanic. And they said, oh, well, everyone that's part of our Discord gets to join and be part of a faction and then like control one of the factions in this faction game, and it's $1 to join at minimum, and we have all these rules and you can join a thing. And first it got bad because it spun out into parliamentary process, because the thing I used Robert's rules before I knew what they were, because I was part of this one faction that was a faction of factions. And so there was like different groups joining in to make decision making. And everyone eventually hated each other and wanted to burn everything down. But there was like event discords that spawned out and other things. And there was like a wild amount of destruction and hate. And it was one of the most, like, it broke my brain, because like everyone was so mad at everyone 100% of the time, all of the time. And like the problem is like, that one server could have been fine, but because it had like infinite spinouts, those all got kind of cursed. And there's like 8 people that are good that are left from it. But then the other very important thing is that obviously the creator became extremely cursed, but some people decided that he wasn't extremely cursed.
I don't know what I thought had, I knew what cursed means,
okay,
but now it's used so
it's just,
often.
In this specific case, I mean like very bad. Okay. In this case, I mean extremely bad. So basically it was like a role playing game, like actual play, like Twitch stream. And one of the characters was like this robot, and they're like trying to, like, their arc was like trying to figure out like if like how they could like say no to whatever, things like that. And then the person threw a like rape scene in, and then she was like, I don't want this. What the fuck? And he just
Oh, I remember this. This was public, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, super public.
It was weird too. Like, even uh-huh. if there wasn't any sort of horrifying sexual violence, it was weird.
Yeah, it was weird because then he refused to like say that he did anything wrong and then showed up and made this apology, non-apology. But yeah, there was this whole Discord community of like a ton of people doing this like weird, wacky faction thing that already was like made you feel bad about everything you did because it was parliamentary process that felt bad. And then the community imploded. And so the only Discord I now interact with is this like one Patreon Discord of this musician I like. That's it. And it's like there's like 30 people that use it often, maybe less.
I just realized I'm in a couple, but they're all for Pokemon Go and just to connect us to do raids together. Because I do use it for chatting chatting. What about DMs? I guess. But Discord is the only place that I've been like truly doxxed, where like the full address, phone number, everything on there, and like it's so easy for it to spread far and wide. Like Twitter is pretty good about taking things down relatively quickly, or at least since 2020 they've gotten better at it, but it depends though, because now there's the issue of sharing addresses over private accounts. But with Discord, like, God, there's a bot that in one Discord that was like collecting addresses from a TikTok user and just like sending, and like the dude was a shitty guy. It was some Trump guy, but he was a UPS driver, and I think something else happened to a FedEx driver, and like there were thousands of people stalking this UPS driver, and it's UPS was like, I don't know, we can't do anything. And I'm really mixed on like how Discord functions as a piece of technology and how the creators intend to go forward with what it, like, I don't know what Discord is like for anymore.
My Discord problem is it's too good at doing the things it wants to do, so it makes it too easy for like 30 trillion communities to spawn up, and no one thinks community management is hard.
Right.
Well, here's what I will say. I think Discord is actually doing a lot in terms of ramping up their community management resources and their engagement. I think they are, I mean, when we had people from Discord reach out to us to help us with our community.
Was that before or after it imploded, though?
I mean, this was last summer.
That was a while ago. That's my thing, where they, like, these communities do blow up so quickly. Like, sometimes that's good. And Slack, at least, will notice that and be like, hey, is everything okay? Because, you know, like, you don't want suddenly, like, Q to pop up. But if they're, like, what are some of the tools they're providing? That's really interesting.
So they now, so one of the things that they're doing, which I actually think is really smart, is that they incentivize big communities to make sure their rules are enforced and that they have a good experience, because you can get bonus things if you're doing well. They also now offer like specific courses in being a moderator, and then you can, like, it's called the Discord Moderator Academy, and they actually have a so there's also a special server for Discord admins now that you can only get access to if your community has specifically good retention metrics.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which I think is the right track in terms of retention tells you that at least the community is what the people want the community to be.
Absolutely.
Because other people come in and they leave, and they come in and they leave. Yeah.
The thing that I am still hopeful about with Discord is the relative openness of the API still. And Obviously, the lack of an algorithm controlling everything, because that was
Oh my God. Also, the fact that they knew that whatever Discord Spaces was called, they had to delete that. Every time you joined it, there was like a Discover page for Discord things,
communities,
and those were always like, me and my friend joined a few to see.
It was like
Twitter Spaces.
Yeah, you can do them inside. So
stages,
right? You can do stages inside Discord servers, but they gave you an opportunity to make those public.
Yeah, that's fine. But there used to be a Discover.
They
and whenever those were happened, you joined one, and it was always like Nazis or huge misogynists. Or I joined one called "Is God Real" to like see what the fuck was going on.
It
was just like some like hashtag rat. Atheists like logical boys dunking on like 12-year-olds.
I mean, this is right. This is the same. Basically, it was their stages, but you were allowed to make them public if you wanted. So it was just the extension of the stage feature. I mean, yeah, that's the same as what happened with. I mean, that's exactly what happened with Clubhouse too. Like,
yes, they all became crypto scams.
Right. Like it's right. I guess my point is, I guess, like that was, but what they did that nobody else did is that they stopped doing it.
Yes.
Oh, like, actually, I'm glad they stopped doing that.
The other thing I forgot that they added an auto mod.
Oh.
Like built-in functionality.
How does that, like what kind?
Like you don't need to add a bot, right?
Yeah, you don't need to add a bot. It's a system of multiple content filters. So you can do keyword, you can configure keyword filters. They do have machine learning ones, depending, like if you're trying to detect certain things, like links to malware specifically.
That is awesome, because back in ye olde days of three years ago, like I had a master list of basically, and this was specifically for live streaming moderation for Twitch and our Discord servers, and just putting in the list of all the possible slurs and all the possible permutations of the slurs. And I'm like, this is the worst. And YouTube still doesn't have that. I think they have maybe just a list. You can put in a list of like plain text, but there's no machine learning or anything like that that Discord now has. And it's very frustrating, because that makes me think like,
that was terrible.
Oh gosh. And Brian, you have been a leader in many communities. What do you think right now is the best place to have a digital community? Because I mean, I've talked about this on many podcasts, but I feel really lonely on the internet right now, and I don't know where to go to find and be around my people.
Honestly, I think it's Discord right now.
The unfortunate answer is like that is correct. Also, I'm in as I said, I'm in like maybe like two Discords that are great. They're just like Patreon small Discords.
What's good for me is like our trans Discord that we're in, Quinn, like it's not super not a lot happens, but it's always good shit. Like it's always like stuff you want to enjoy.
No, that's what I mean. Like I feel like once the Discord passes like 500 people, it becomes cursed.
Agreed. Yes. Agreed. Unless you like have the whole team and like you're saying Alex and everything.
Even then, though, I think the reason
it's just hard to follow.
It's a different experience. Yeah, it's a different experience. For example, I dip in and out of the Relay and Max Story stuff all the time. That's good. You know, mm-hmm. I really have a blast with there. That there is a partner server, so you can now become a Discord partner server, which means like Discord, like it's the highest level of server that Discord has been like. We have looked at everything and we have blessed you as something that we are willing to align our name with. And the server that we sent everybody to when we closed Transtopia is called Trans Community Center.
Oh, so it's almost like a verified type of deal. Oh, that's really interesting.
TCC is really nice too.
I think that this might be my moment of... What? No, I see. I don't know. I feel like I am the only person who isn't a fan of Discord. And I thought, like technical and I guess like ethical issues aside, I thought that maybe I, because of the really bad experiences I had on Discord, that's why I didn't like it. But then I realized I just didn't enjoy the sort of real time nature of a chat, like a live stream chat.
I miss forums.
Yeah, same. That's why I am shallow enough to have my own Reddit.
Well, then, I mean, friends, two things. The thing that I've learned about Discord is Discord works when you stop treating it like...
Yeah, don't treat it like live.
Yeah, we don't treat it like live.
That
yeah.
trans one
yeah.
Brian was talking about, like, I show up, I, like, don't want to read everything. I don't feel like I need to, like, completionist it. I sometimes see cute photos. I sometimes post things. That, like, Patreon one I'm in, I'd, like, sometimes chat. Yeah, Alex, you know you're very special because when I text you, I also have to say sorry for texting you.
No one ever needs to do that. The thing is, no matter what...
Alex, I'm so broken.
But so am I, in that I either won't see the text or I will be in some sort of either manic or depressive episode and won't respond to the text. So it doesn't matter. Either way, it's... It's me not going to respond
fair.
To
That's
it.
That's what I decided. Is that like, if you just don't respond, who cares?
But Alex, I think I should invite you to our Discord because it's small and nice and fun and it's only trans people. And it's also called the Fuck Around and Find Out Brunch Table. because
our Discord's forum, it's not a community.
Discourse
title,
has a new
title.
A new logo. That's I don't know how I feel about it.
It's literally called Discourse. It makes me feel bad.
Like, you know what? They're upfront about it because I too wasn't a part of the forums sort of like my introduction to forums was basically Reddit because I was already in like the web 2.0 era, and unfortunately for the most famous forums were like 4chan and the possibly literally cursed places where the communities were just infamous, and the ones that weren't were just a bunch of nerds who did not want to be associated with that, or at least that's what my elder internet friends have said, that they're like, well, we do not want this attention because we don't want to be associated with the worst parts of the internet. So I like that. I actually, to its credit, Discord, I think, has elevated a lot of the forum style communication just for the very reasons. Like Discord itself doesn't have a like forum-ish feature now, or am I?
Yeah. Also, threads are sick. Discord threads are so good.
No,
I'm a huge
but that's
Discord thread.
But the threads don't like in unlike Slack, you can't like they're like iMessage replies where.
No, they have threads now where you create like a secondary temporary sub channel.
Yeah. That's what I'm amazing. Talking about. Okay, yes. Those are awesome.
There's Discord replies. Those are bad because they're just adding someone secretly.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, basically, that's where you reply to something from like 6 hours ago, and I notoriously do that, and it's silly, and it doesn't really work well.
But yeah, like so threads. I still think Slack threads are better than Discord threads because they're like less of a like big deal when you create them, because like. They're like a reply, right? Like when you create a Slack reply, you create like a sub channel, but they're not named. But Discord threads are like threads. Like you're making a new sub ephemeral channel to talk about this thing that people can like jump into and has a name under it. And I think it does its purpose well. I think, but like people compare them to Slack replies, but they're different, you know?
Yes, for sure. Which is why. Discourse is a really interesting interest. This is interesting. Although I don't. God, this is so bad. Civilized discussion for your community is what it's like their tagline is. Or
we can get started. Oh, yeah. We can get started for $20 a month on Communitech. They'll do the managed hosting for us.
What is Communitech? What?
The only Communitech I know is a startup incubator from Waterloo that sent me free goat swag.
So this is a company that used to be called Discourse Hosting, but now they're called Communitech, and they just do manage discourse hosting.
There's a Canadian flag on this. Wait, am I at the right place?
Are they Canadian?
Communitech.ca?
No, Communitech, that's the goat one. That's the goat one.
Oh my God.
My internet is being bad.
I have brought like shame upon, and by shame I mean broken internet.
We should rename the podcast from Technically Queer to My Internet is Broken.
My internet is broken.io. Should we
the subtitle? So we can just showly chip and out, you know? Showly chip it out.
Showly. Wow, that stammer came on hard. That was like a loop of showly chip. Brian, what's your showly chip?
That's a great question. What is my showly chip?
No, I see. Look at it. I should not be on this show. She should not be here.
My showly chip is what is it? What did you say? What have I been chewing on lately? I mean, I have a new job, right? And so I'm getting set up with like all of the tools and the things. And man, why do people have like I'm about to have to learn JavaScript way before I wanted to. So like my Sholi chip is it's Atlassian and like the UI, and people love to hack the Atlassian UI so they don't see or do see things inside of their like Jira instances.
And yeah, man, like Grease Monkey scripts.
Yeah, exactly. But you could just do it straight in like the announcement banner. They give you an area to do
stuff.
Oh,
they let you do it? Nice.
No, bad.
Nice.
Because nobody.
Yeah, no. That was a slash sar nice.
Yeah, my Sholi chip is learning about code documentation because nobody does it.
Wait.
Yeah, welcome to the programmer lifestyle.
I was going to say, do either of you have recommendations for good documentation or good places to...
No.
That's always my question.
Yeah, the answer, I have an answer, Discord.
God.
I'm not kidding. I'm in a bunch of Discords that are just like, I need help with this one thing. So I join a community Discord and then go, there's this, Astro is this thing. Brian, keep talking. I guess I'll stop. But yeah. Never mind. Discord.
You're great. No,
that
keep
is.
Going.
Yeah, do it.
Oh yeah, I was just saying. Like, so there's this Astro Discord server, and it's really good because if you go to the help thing, it auto starts a thread for your help that if you don't talk in, it closes in 24 hours, and then like pings the help squad in their own little support channel. It's good.
Ooh.
It's a big. It's like nice. I only like go to it when I need help. I never like interact with the ex. Quote unquote community. I just go to help. Sometimes I see a thing and I'm like, oh, I know how to answer that, but I don't interact with it that often otherwise. But the support threads is good, and the auto threader bot is a genius bot.
I mean, if you're talking about where to put documentation, write your documentation in your code.
But yeah, that's correct. That's actually the correct take. Yeah.
Is there a controversy around that? Do people not like doing that? Is it I don't want to say laziness thing. That's a terrible term. But why not include documentation in your code?
So I think the hard part with code is some people don't want to include like business reasons in the code.
Like if it's not open source and proprietary?
No. Okay. Like when I say business reason, so like there's like what your code is doing, and then there's the business reason for why your business is for like the business logic for why your code is doing this thing.
Okay.
And there's an aversion to doing that. And also, documentation in code is a liability because no one updates it. So you'll update a function, but you won't go and update the documentation, and then it'll be wrong. And it's more wrong when you're reading it immediately than when it's in a thing that... The problem is that documentation is always a liability. And so I read this book. It's called Clean Code. It's pretty okay.
and they're like,
if you have to document your code, then you wrote your code poorly, which I thought was a really bad take in the past. But I think you shouldn't have to document in your code what is doing. It should be super clear. And then you can document why your code is doing things. That's so my documentation.
Here's my pushback on that. When I, a non-programmer, need to walk into the freaking script you wrote and figure out what it's doing and why, I would like the documentation.
Yes. My whole retort to that was, well, what if you're a ding-a-ling who's trying to figure it out? And...
But the code should, see, that's the thing, is that the code should be clear. Like, for example, the clean code book is like, if you have more than two levels of indents, make it a function and name that function something. And if that function has an and, it's two functions.
See, you are saying words that I barely understand, and which would be okay.
Alex and I are like, but tell me how, like, we're like, but what is a function?
Right. And the...
Well, no, if you're at a what is a function point... I don't know how to write documentation.
But that's what I mean. There's not always good documentation around certain language or around like bugs that are common. Like if that existed, then I could understand what like the
Discord.
The thank God for GitHub.
Also, the other recommendation that I'll actually give is one that Aaron said is OpenSauced is a great resource to learn to code and open source. And I think part of it is going into these spaces and like looking at the bugs that they have. Like you said, talking about GitHub, Alex, and looking at that stuff.
Oh, the issues, right?
Issues, yeah. And a lot of GitHub projects will now like have good first issues labeled for people.
Yeah. There's a good first issue tag by default.
I like that.
Yeah, because I was looking at this code today that was dealing with the Atlassian UI, and I was like, there are things in here that, like, I don't... What is AJI? Probably Atlassian JavaScript interface? I don't know.
Oh, well, it's important. If your variable is an acronym, don't name it that. The Go programming language official recommendation is to name your variable single letters, and whoever wrote that should be burned at a stake.
Quinn will literally curse them.
I agree. And also, I just want to
cursed.
Say, this is all preparation. Alex and I have to learn Rust a little bit so that we can have a conversation about why Rust is the trans programming language.
I've decided this is the worst part of the show because I get excited about too many things and then some sort of hyperfixation just go
Alex,
did you Google the Rust programming language and the word trans?
Yeah,
because you should. It's really funny.
Yeah, but we're going to start a separate show, which is going to be a video live stream of Quinn teaching us how to code.
That is genuinely something that I 100% would do because I love watching live streams of people code, even though I have no idea what's going on. It's competence porn for me, although I don't know if the person is competent because I'm not. I don't know what's happening, but if they sound confident, I'm like, yeah, good on you, buddy.
So Quinn, you ready to become a YouTuber?
No.
You could be a Twitch streamer, and we can do it over there.
Wait, you could do that and also stream on TikTok at the same time and get people to other other trans people to harass you, it'll be a great time.
Quinn does not want to be a competent person on TikTok. Like, Quinn's whole TikTok brand is incompetent.
Yeah. I don't want to be a pro. I don't, like, my work is tech. I don't want to be a tech-fluencer.
Tech-fluencer.
Influencer plus tech, you know?
I was just saying, that has the sort of mouthfeel that's so obnoxious that it will probably become a real thing and a real word that people use.
It already for sure is a thing.
Oh, God.
It certainly is. Like, I just don't want to be like all the people that do it are bad vibes, you know? Like, there's this one tech YouTuber that, like, started making a programming language that they called, like, it was like Minion speak programming language, but actually it was just like making fun of AAVE programming language, and it was a bad vibe.
See, none of those words make sense to me. I was not tech fluenced by that. I'm being tech fluenced by Rust.
Save your soul. Rust is great. Rust is a hard first programming language to learn, but I don't think it's a bad first programming language to learn. But it is hard. The compiler is great, but it's angry. But it will tell you why it's angry. Like, it's really good at telling you why it's angry. And, like, often, like, if it's an easy thing, we'll be like, you should do this. Like, you did it bad. Fix it this way, you know?
Well,
but it's a hard one because it is like anger memory management.
Quinn, now that you have rust pilled us, what have you been snacking on this week?
What have I been smacking on this week?
Nom,
real answer is I just watched a bunch of shorts at a film festival, which isn't tech, but it's a tech. It was the Vancouver It was the Vancouver Queer Film Festival, which was super fun. I watched one of the silliest movies in the world, which wasn't a short. It was a, like, closing feature, and it made me feel bad. I have this theory that all media is becoming Riverdale, and this made me feel like that. This movie was a movie written by someone that watched a bunch of movies about, like, camp movies from the 80s and 90s and 70s, and really wanted you to know that he watched all those movies.
Like a Ready was, like, Player One situation?
The whole
situation.
Movie was just, like, wink, nod.
Oh.
Yeah, like, there was one of the characters, the bad boy character, was named JD, and then they immediately was like, we could watch the Heathers. Like, Heathers, the movie.
Oh.
Or this one character that would never have known about the movie Clue because it just doesn't make sense. She's like, ooh, Clue, you know? It's just like Clue. At the end, because, like, you know, one of the guys is secretly gay but doesn't want to tell all his Christian friends that he's secretly gay. Whoa, Alex, it's like you.
Pretty much.
But at the end, he's like, I'm going with my gay friends. We're going to go watch a movie about a queen in a desert. And I'm like, yeah, we know you want Pink Flamingo. It's okay.
Wait, that's not...
That's Priscilla Queen of the Desert, not Pink Flamingos.
Oh, fake queer, fake
they
queer.
They said Pink Queen in the Desert.
Oh my God.
They said Pink Queen in the
good.
Desert.
Oh, so many fake queers out here. Wow.
What movie is that referencing? That felt like it was a Pink Flamingo reference.
Oh no, I think it was a combo. It sounds like it was doing a Ready Player One the movie thing, which is we can't reference this exact thing because of various reasons, or it would want to be sort of vague, so we're going to make up this, like, fake World of Warcraft or like this fake superhero, but that seems like a mashup of
they just said, like, I'm gonna go watch a movie that, like, supposedly has this queen in a desert.
Then that's Priscilla, Queen of the that's what it's called, right, Brian? Am I a fake queer too?
Oh, Priscilla?
Yeah.
Fake queer? I'm a fake queer.
I've got the queer imposter syndrome. Me over here with this monogamous...
Oh, fuck, it is Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Both are good movies. Man, I want to watch
John anyways, Waters. The person really wanted to camp reference, you know? Oh, it is? Okay, it makes me feel better that it's a John Waters film. But yeah, musical, you know. Oh no, it's not. It's Stephen Elliott. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm fake queer,
mm-hmm,
fake queer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a child. I didn't exist.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I always forget, like, I mean, you have existed for a while, but your sentience has not. I think about that a lot. Like, Zoomers, God, I just hate also the generational names for things. But I'm like, oh man, you're all so fresh, but in like a good way. I don't know, the way that's why I'm not afraid of the metaverse like being terrible, because I don't think there will be a metaverse, because people are like Gen Z is going to be like, this is stupid. No, why would we do no a Bitcoin like crypto crashed. We don't want to do this. No, and the children are our future. I think I just called Quinn a child inadvertently.
Nah, close enough. It's fine. But I watched this one movie at the Vancouver Film Festival called Death and Bowling, and oh my god, you have to watch it. Alex, Brian, if you can figure out how to watch this film festival movie, good luck. It's a film festival movie. They're hard to find. Watch it. It's so good. The production company is called T4T Productions. The whole cast is trans, but the movie doesn't like need to care if actually every person that's playing is it also a trans character, but maybe they are, like, it doesn't matter. It's like dreamlike, it's good. It's about this trans man named X. It's so good, you have to watch it. It was on my watch list for 2 years.
You're like telling us about this amazing snack that you had, and like, but actually it's only sold in Canada. That's what's happening right now. This beautiful movie, and now you've deprived Brian and I. Yes.
But you might be able to find it. You might be able to find it like on the internet. You know,
all dressed chips and ketchup chips. This is what you're doing to us. Mm-hmm. You can find ketchup chips here now.
Cause like, yeah, is it a film festival movie? Yeah. But like, maybe one day I will come to a film festival near you.
Coming soon to a quick film festival.
It was
near
on
you.
My Letterboxd watch list for a year and a half. It was like from Outfest, Los Angeles.
Or oh, okay. So what you're saying is pirate it, which like, I will happily do.
Yeah. Like, it's just good. It's sick. And you should watch it. It's not a Canadian movie.
All right. Fair enough. Now I don't even like ketchup, but now I want ketchup chips.
August. Okay.
So I guess that's mine. That's my showly.
We could reach out to the creator of it and ask them if we can have a screening of our own.
Yeah, that's actually what I was thinking. The secret to most indie films is if you just send a nice message, they'll usually just be like, yes, please, everyone watch my movie. Because indie filmmakers are great.
Yeah, I've done
They're
that.
Lovely.
All right, Alex, your turn.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. I've been snacking on a lot of things this week, but they're mostly like in the what I've come to think of as the Fosse universe. So all of Bob Fosse's work, and he is a choreographer slash director slash producer of all things musicals, and I primarily knew him from the Broadway show Chicago. And there is a
I was like, this sounds familiar,
yeah,
because you talked about it on your other podcast.
Yes, on the one with the Folders guy. And there's this limited series called Fosse Verdon about him and his wife, who was far more talented than he was and kept him hinged when necessary. But I have just, I've actually never seen All That Jazz, which is his most famous movie, at least, because it's nowhere. You cannot stream it. So
I hate that. That's so bad.
And I'm like, I want to, and it's from the Criterion Collection, because normally I don't really care about, like, sometimes I prepare old movies.
Is it not on the Criterion channel or whatever? Like, can you,
it is not. So I ordered the Blu-ray because that's how, and not because Like, I am not above pirating. I am a terrible, terrible thief. But I can't find one with good subtitles, and I just prefer subtitles.
Yeah, Alex, I understand the struggle. My Letterboxd, I watched like 300 movies in the past 2 years, so my Letterboxd watch list is filled of movies that are unavailable anywhere. And I'm not above pirating, but I don't want to. It's too much work for my tiny pea brain.
That's mostly the reason I have every streaming service, and
I'm willing to purchase it. You know, like I'll buy it if you can. If I have to buy it on the Cineplex website or on the whatever website, I'll do it.
Yeah, the main reason that I don't use Plex as much is just because it doesn't really scratch an itch my brain used to have for like having like metadata and stuff like that. Like I have some like rare indie films and bullshit that are difficult to find, but it's so tedious getting the subtitles and getting like, God, I've still only seen the main series of Evangelion, and that's on Netflix. I'm like, oh, this is how. Okay, this makes way more sense. Brian's back.
Well, you can also just watch the Evangelion rebuilds are on Amazon Prime. Did I tell you when I was getting the tattoos that I got? I got them in a basement of someone's place, and we watched Evangelion on VHS.
Oh God, that sounds very queer. That sounds just like pure bliss for so many reasons. Oh, I want to.
It was really good.
That's the other thing I've been snacking on. Actually, I've wanted another tattoo for a very long time, and I'm.
Wait, Alex, you have tattoos?
I have 2 tattoos. Yes, I do.
That's so fun.
I
have 20.
Damn. Brian, do you have any tattoos?
Not yet. I want one, but it hasn't happened yet.
It is a very enjoyable experience. I never thought I would ever get one. And then I did for a bit that didn't end up even being that funny.
That's always how it starts.
Exactly. And now I was like, okay, that's one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life. And now that's the problem is I love the process of getting tattoos so much. And mine are relatively like the... Not relatively, actually. Compared to the people in my age group, they are very small. And I enjoy it so much. I know that I would do it a ton. And it's not that I don't like want sleeves. I just know that I couldn't pull it off. So I have to really space it out.
I know what you mean.
Space it out.
Because Alex, in 2020, I had one tattoo. I moved to Vancouver in September 2020. I have 20 tattoos. So, it kind of happens. There's so many queer tattoo artists in Vancouver that are super cool.
Well, and this does... The reason that I have been thinking more about tattoos is because, actually, kind of related to my Fosse Verdon... It's in show notes. Everybody watch it. But I really care about, for me at least, meaningful tattoos. And I don't have a media tattoo right now, but I'm like, okay, if I don't want to get like a super cringe for me one. Matt has some musical tattoos. My spouse Matt has musical tattoos. I might get a Studio Ghibli tattoo. I don't know, but I've been...
That's it. You should do it.
I probably will. But the reason I like Fosse Verdon, really recommend it. Even if you don't like musicals, or actually if you hate musicals, it's just a really interesting exploration of creativity and the toxic relationships that we endure in order to make things that we love and to make work that we hope other people will love. And I just am shocked that I missed it because it's been on Hulu forever. So yes, go watch Fosse Verdon, folks. Highly recommend.
Friends, I just want to say my internet. Here's the thing. Let me tell you a brief internet story. We literally had
a sidebar.
We literally had our cable guy, who's an actual person we know because he's our friend across the street, who's a technician, come over after I had to call them to get them to schedule a tech so that he could come over. And he tested everything outside, and then it looked like it was the cable in our attic because it was stapled down in weird places because of the way that the builders put it in. And then it was supposed to be like, so we literally have a cable, a new coax cable running through our house right now. Like, there's a hole in between the garage and the house to let it in. And then it's like hung up around the ceiling. Nathan did this over the weekend. And now we're having issues still. And I'm very upset.
I should send you one big feels for all the empathy for this terrible situation, because internet, oh God, why isn't it easier to get? Two, I was like, garage? Wait, it goes through multiple rooms? What? And what That's I fair. Do is just gaff tape my Ethernet to the top of my this is to our bedroom, and I have to take it down every time I record, because for some reason 5G refuses to be prevalent, because fucking Verizon and AT&T just fighting each other. Why can't we have wideband or ultra wideband? Brian, you deserve all of the internet. We missed you deeply.
You deserve all of the internet too, Alex.
Or at least I did. I don't know if Quinn did.
I did. We were just talking about, I don't even remember what we talked. I think we talked about how I had 20 tattoos.
Yeah.
Because I'm silly.
Yeah, no, it'll be usable.
I only have like one. Yeah, I only have like one silly media tattoo. And it's like not even that related. I got like this free hand. I got a Transcurl Suicide Museum tattoo.
Really?
It's like a freehand based off my gen. I like walked into this person, and this other person was trans, and I got like vibes of the book, you know?
Yeah.
I can send
yes,
you a photo.
Yes, please. That is interesting. Should we do a awkward transition and have a reading series?
Oh yeah. Okay. So are we gonna read all of these? Are we gonna read one of them? Because a lot of them aren't like threads, they're just funny individual tweets, you know? Though the Sesame Street one is kind of a thread, and I think it's hilarious. So we could just do that one.
Let's go for it.
Okay. I need to find the funny part, though, because there was, like, who responded to the funny part, you know? I hate Twitter.com. I don't know, is the funny one gone? Because there's that funny one about, like, how I hate Twitter.
I mean, I can read you a funny single tweet that I just saw come across my timeline. This is from someone who is a mutual, who's a retired drag queen king from Ontario.
Oh, I love drag queens.
Do you know
him,
Ben Agitator?
No, I don't know drag queens from Ontario.
Drag kings from
but
Ontario.
But I do love
okay.
them.
So this is what he tweeted. He said, okay, so it turns out you should not say it's giving HRT when someone is having erectile dysfunction.
Oh, but that's hilarious.
It is, right?
It is giving.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Alex, it's okay. Don't worry.
If I read this to Matthew, who does use HRT, is
no,
he gonna
no,
be
it's
like?
About, it's about
okay.
It's about
it's about fem it's about estrogen.
Yeah, and it's penises estrogen. And estrogen.
Yeah, it's about estrogenized. It's about gridlock, as TikTok would call it.
Wait, can you actually reread this tweet again? Because
yes,
I think I
okay.
just didn't hear it.
So,
I'm like, no, I like T-Dick boner jokes. But okay, sorry.
All right, here I am. I'm Ben Online. Okay, so it turns out you should not say it's giving HRT when someone is having erectile dysfunction. Okay, now you get it.
I
heard spilling tea, and I'm like, wait, what?
And then the other one that he said, that which is amazing, is thinking about the time a condom got lost inside me, and I sang, I got a trick up my cunt when I pulled it out.
That's so good. Yeah, what? That's speaking of gridlock, we do have to talk about the preposterousness of TikTok words one day, but not today.
Also, friends, I think I figured out what's wrong with my internet. Maybe.
They turned it off.
No, I think the problem is that that there's a lot of other networks using the back, like the same. I think that my Wi-Fi backhaul is on the same like network, or like is in the same channels as a lot of the other things around here. Yeah.
I know about that.
It's absolutely wild that I'm the one with good, quote, good internet today. It's what have really I frustrating. Done? Oh my God.
Anyways, that's the show, folks. You should follow Only Alex on Twitter. And you should follow me on TikTok. You know?
I'm Brian, Queer Iroh on Twitter. Friends, we're closing in on 10,000, which I'm trying to get to for no other reason. I'm at like, I think we're at 8,700 now. People, I asked That's a little bit decent. Ago and like a couple of days ago, and people have been flooding in, which has been really nice. If you want to be one of those people who flood me, that'd be great.
I'm at 300.
Here's my promise. Once I get there, I'm gonna turn on the super tweets or whatever it is. But I'm gonna donate.
You're gonna super tweet.
I forget
Ryan.
What it's called. But then I'm gonna turn.
It's called super tweets.
Okay, and then I'm gonna turn it on, and then I'm gonna donate all of the money to somebody that you tell me to donate it to. That's what's gonna happen.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Well,
and follow us at
TQPodFM. And you can email at us at gay@technicallyqueer.fm if you're gay, or straight@technicallyqueer.fm if you're straight. And if you're not sure, pick
yes,
gay.
Yes. Yes.
Right. You can also use contact@technicallyqueer.fm if you've forgotten the other ones. Or hello.
Or if you're boring.
Do we have confused?
You can use it. They all work, actually. They all work.
I love it.
I basically have a catch-all set up.
Oh, so if you want to send your specific niche identity at technicallyqueer.fm, you can do that too.
Oh my God, yes. Like, you know.
Like, send genderfay at technicallyqueer.fm,
oh
you know?
Oh my God. This is, right. Oh my God.
Like,
oh my God.
People like fat black agender crypted bitch at, you know, technicallyqueer.fm. All works.
Yay.
Then we'll do a tally and post the chart. Like, we'll do charts like Jason Snell.
It's a survey.
We'll do, yeah. It's a built-in survey.
I love this so
Bye.
Much.
We're just closing on Alex's laughter because that's perfect.
Bye.
Cut that.
Testing. Oh, testing. Yeah.